Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani.
Okay, from Hawaii, a big aloha, welcome
aloha
to all my listeners out here aloha. In Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live through the wonder of technology and also Blog Talk Radio, as well as YouTube and a whole bunch of other things that are on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. So yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving, and we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. This is my first time doing a remote location in Hawaii because I'm on vacation with my lovely wife, Charlene. See, who says caregivers can't take their loved ones on vacation with you and have a good time? I'm proving that you can do that. And as you can see, the ocean off my right shoulder. You can see the ocean off my right shoulder, right?
Okay. Yes. Beautiful.
That's just to make everybody just a little jealous so that they can say, one day I'm going to do that. Now, I wasn't able to take vacations in the beginning. So, you know, it's something that you just have to keep hoping and believing. And you know, if you believe it, it'll happen.
Visualize.
So, visualize. Thank you. Today we'll be interviewing Ron Bittner, an inventor of a very special game that helps brain injury patients and others get better and have fun at the same time doing it. So stay tuned. You definitely do not want to miss this show. And if you're new to this show, and we get many new listeners every week since we've gone video, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and I am the caregiver's caregiver. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and selfless and sacrificial, and oh yeah, they have this tiny little bad habit. They seem to burn out frequently, almost daily, almost hourly, because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Can you imagine that? Learn a lesson from the airlines. I know some of you have flown. There aren't too many people who haven't flown in their life and heard that in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. Remember that one? Yeah. Well, why do they tell us that? I mean, it sounds like the most selfish thing a parent can hear and do to their kid, right? I mean, just imagine the plane's going down. Everyone's screaming, you know, the oxygen masks come down. And your little bundle of joy is gasping for breath, screaming your name. Whose mask are you going to put on first, I tell you, huh? I know, it's tough. I don't even know whose mask I would put on first. But you're supposed to put your own mask on first, because the airlines know that if you don't put your needs above the needs of all your other loved ones, then you will black out. And when you black out, you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. Okay, you got that? So even though they're screaming and they're gasping for breath, how many seconds does it take to put yours on first? Not long, right? In the grand scheme of things. Okay, now we also talk about grief and the loss. You know, anytime someone goes through loss, they go through grief. You can't avoid it. And sometimes it's a devastating effect to go through the grief, especially if you don't know you're going through it. So you have to know, okay, this is the grief process. I was told about this. I was warned about this. You know, there's this thing called, you know, denial and anger and you know, depression and acceptance and bargaining, all that stuff. So you learn a lot by listening to the show. So tune in every week. But unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. You can't go around it or under it or sneak by it. You have to go through it. There are no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. And I want to take this opportunity to thank my last week's guest. You might say, well, who was your last week's guest, Dave? Well, it was myself, you see, because my guest didn't show up. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to interview me because I'm an interesting person and I know a lot of stuff. I can answer questions. So it was the first time I ever did that, and I thought it was a great show. So tune in. It's on my website. All these shows become recorded podcasts that you can tune in. And when you're there, just take our short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? Because not only for doing that, I'm going to send you my first book absolutely free. That's a $10 value. And it's called One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, my wife's amazing story of surviving a devastating stroke that robbed her of her speech and her paralyzed her right side. So not only do you get the free book, you get the results to your quiz, Am I a Candidate for Burnout, and suggestions of how you can improve your score next time. So that's a great deal. And now I hear the trade winds rumbling through my microphone, so that just adds to the atmosphere that things are wonderful and the sun is hiding behind a cloud, which my forehead greatly appreciates. Just suffering for Jesus over here. Okay. Where was I? All right, enough of that. Ron, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this Aloha interview today. I really appreciate it. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? Just who is Ron Bittner? I mean, you didn't invent the Bitcoin, right?
Well, I wish I did. I tell you what.
you definitely got a trademark on the name. That's for sure.
There you go. You know, greetings from San Diego, California. We have a great city here, and we also have a wonderful commitment between the civilian and military communities here. A very large community, and we do try to do a lot for each one of those. I'm a veteran myself, a veteran in the U.S. Army, and been here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. San Diego's been my home for about almost 17 years very soon. Mm. I'm an East Coast transplant. My wife grew up in Del Mar when she was a kid, and a few years ago, we decided, hey, you know what? I'm game. I'm a contractor. I can work anywhere. So we decided to put two kids in college and bring the other two with us and kind of moving forward from there.
Yeah, I love San Diego. And we stop there every time we go, down into Rosarita. And sure. I have a niece in Del Mar, so we always visit them. Gives us an excuse to visit them. Definitely. And it's the second Hawaii, actually, but just a little cooler.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Have you ever been to San Diego, Adrian?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Good. What were you saying, Ron?
Oh, I was just sharing so what brought us out here was, just a change from the East Coast. We lived in the Washington, D.C. area. We actually lived, and my kids grew up near Camp David. If you understand where that is, Catoctin Mountain area. So, we've been around. We've seen a few people, and it's been good. In 1985, when I was in flight school for the Army, I was learning to fly helicopters, and I was landing on the landing pad one day, and I was met by a higher ranking officer, and he had a motorcycle with a sidecar on it. And he motioned for me to get out of the aircraft, and I gave the controls to my my instructor, and I got out, and he said, Ron, he goes, I need you to come with me. And I'm like, okay, am I out of school or what? But it got real serious as I was driving back to headquarters. I went into the commanding officer's office, and he said, Ron, he goes, I got to tell you something. He said, your younger brother is in a coma.
Oh, really?
And so I woke up really quick from, what I was doing in my life and kind of zeroed in on what my family was getting ready to go through. And so wasn't long.
Caregiver overnight, huh?
You bet.
Was he military or?
No, he was. My brother was 15 years old.
Oh.
He was just a young man. He was a very strong young football player, and we come from a family of athletes and service members, and so he was doing his bit. And but anyway, so he got encephalitis of the brain, and it took him over, and for 3 weeks he was in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out of the coma, my younger brother knew who we were, but he couldn't communicate. He lost his short-term memory and the ability to speak normally. And very frustrating for him as well as the family. Mm-hmm. So so that's how I got into the where we're at today. The Lord put it on my heart many years ago to design this game, but I did a lot of things in the interim that took me away from this, but I always had this desire to do this. And why a game? I never understood it. Then I finally figured it out one day after we put it together. It was connection. It was a way for me and my family to connect with those who are on the other side of the table that are not the way we are. And we don't know what they're going through, but I knew that I figured out that this was a connection. This allowed me, who knew nothing about caregiving, who knew nothing about a brain injury, all of a sudden I knew that I knew the concept of a game. And I knew that if I had my younger brother play, or could be your brother or anyone, play this game with me, now it empowered me with something. Something that wow. I knew that I could let that person explore the concepts in a very basic way. And then gradually, as they received that understanding and they showed progress, then I could move them to another level and draw them to another level. What a godsend for our community. Because
this sounds like a heavenly download from above. I mean, have you ever made a game before? I mean, is this the first time you've ever exhibited these kind of traits or abilities to do something like this?
Where'd the inspiration come from?
You know, I have never done a game before. I've been in graphic arts. I've been in different things. I'm very good with art, and graphics. And when I was in flight school, my instructors couldn't understand how I could read a topographic map and fly and direct them through very low altitudes with very little topography to show. But I explained to them, I could see things in three dimensions. So wow. as we would be flying along, I would say, take a right, take a left, and I would get us to our objective very quickly. And my instructor was very, very pleased with that. But, you know, that was that. But there was something else that was brewing, I guess. And unfortunately, my younger brother is the inspiration, and by the way, his name is Mark Douglas.
Mark Douglas. Wow. So we really have to thank Mark Douglas for this amazing game that you got inspired by God to invent.
Well, I tell you, it was God inspired, and I would be when I was designing it in my office. My family was running around all around me, but I was just focused on this for about 6 months, trying to figure out what it was. And to be quite honest with you, it took me 3 years to figure out what it was, how it was, and what it was for. Because my initial drive was really, my daughter was in the hospital with twins and they were premature. And I said, man, something keeps driving me to do this game. And so it was always about somebody in trouble, to bring that family together. giving the family the ability to engage, and it may not be scientifically or medically engaged, but it is human connection engagement. Mm-hmm. And then when you see how this game is, it's all about connections, things that people do. We connect, we build. We build as a community, we build as a family, we build as a world. So what we do is we love to get together and just do stuff together. And typically, it always ends up, we're always building something one way or another. It's either a building or a relationship. So that's what this is targeting our ability to connect and to focus. That brings me into the science part of it. I had family members, I would play it with them and they'd go, huh? You know? And then, but then they said, yeah, you know, if we did it this way, Dad, we would see it a different way, because I always saw the way, but they couldn't figure it out. And so they said, you know, what if we put numbers and colors in it to do it also? And I said, you know what? I've been thinking about my confirmation. So I ended up adding colors and numbers. And so what it did, it actually took the aspect of the science to figure out where people are, the assessment. And that assessment is, can they see a shape? And then can they correlate a shape? Mm-hmm. Can they verify color? And can they do simple mathematics or simple equation? And with those three properties embedded in this game, you only have to know three principle or five principles of the game, and you can do anything with it.
Now, while you were working on this, developing it, at what point did you realize that you knew what you were doing? It sounded like there was a period of time you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know why you were doing it, and you didn't even know what the end product would be. Is that a fair statement?
That is a very fair statement. So I'm looking at it as a game for people to play initially. And then I realized that the first place I took it was the Veterans Administration Hospital, the VA hospital in La Jolla, California. And mm-hmm. we sent it to the I had a session with a spinal cord injury facility there. One of the staff asked me to come in and use the game with a couple of the guys. So here I take a young service member, 20-year-old Marine, who had a fall, became a paraplegic, in a wheelchair, barely able to use his hands. And then I have a veteran of the Vietnam War who can't stand because of his injury. He's in a wheelchair, but he has his use for his hands. So we're sitting there looking at, okay, and I'm looking at, okay, how am I going to engage these two? They're two different guys. They can sit down, but one can use his hands dexterously, mm-hmm. but the other one can't. And so I said, okay, I see what's going on. Because my game is played in a three-dimensional, in other words, it builds off of the table, I was able to take the design and make them all, the one that couldn't use his hands, he was able to push the pieces into position, so that made the game go from two dimension to three dimension and back to two dimension because of the people playing the game. Mm-hmm. So it offered that ability for people to enjoy the game no matter what they had going on.
So they do enjoy. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I wonder, you say enjoy the game. That's a big part of it, I imagine. The fact that it's engaging in an entertaining way. Can you explain that a little?
Yes, I can. One of the things I also do is we did a program in the Naval Medical Center in San Diego in the mental health clinic. When I would go there, I did a weekly class, and it was recreational therapy. Okay. That type of therapy they try to use in order for someone that comes into their clinic, and some of these wards are locked down because some of the guys and gals have some definite issues, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't want them to be able to leave. They want to really monitor what's going on with them neurologically. Either it's a high stress situation, maybe some kind of catatonic form of issues or whatever. But when we sat down and played the game in an environment where I had three or four of their peers that were in the ward, all of a sudden it went from me, what is everybody looking at me for, to now all of a sudden they were able to look at something else. And that engagement play with the four or five guys or gals allowed them to open up. And all of a sudden, walls just started crumbling down. Great. We had sessions where we would come out of there nearly in tears because some of these kids were self-harming. Some of these kids were catatonic. Just things you don't imagine would go on with a young person, but they do. And so by them knowing they're in a safe place, they're in a place where, hey, I can do this and engage and it's okay. And all of a sudden, I always call it the Newbricks effect, because what happens is you see the moment they engage. Mm-hmm. You see it. You see when they just go, hey, I can do this. And they start to do it, especially when they get up off the chair and start running around the table trying to look at the best view of what they're doing, you know. So anyway.
It's not like it's on a computer screen. It's three-dimensional.
It's three-dimensional, and I'll lift these pieces up to show you. See, they're like little bricks. We call them bricks.
Uh-huh.
So what it does is you connect. So if you can see this, and maybe later on your folks can see it on the actual video, but you see there's two different colors.
Yeah.
And the colors, you can make this right here would be a key, and this would be a slot.
Right.
So you can match those together, and that combination there is a connection, a key slot connection. So folks with brain injuries or any kind of understanding that you just get them to look to make a connection. That is the basic thing we're asking them to do. Once they do that, then we change it up on them and we make them connect only colors. So white to white or blue to blue. And what that does, that brings them to another level. Once you see that they're making connections and then they're connecting to colors, then you ask them to, well, you know what? Let's add those numbers. Now you can see that there's a two and a three. Mm-hmm. That's five, right? So now we got them to do the first concept is connection. The second one is color. The third one is the simple mathematics. That is the basics of the game. Now watch what happens. Now that you can see the game, now we're going to go vertically. And now all of a sudden, we can touch the sides with the faces. And all of a sudden, we're connecting in a vertical motion like this.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we're going from two-dimension to three-dimension. Do you see what's going on with the brain? We're asking the brain to do a simple task, but concentrate. And that simple task of concentration allows them to get into a zone of focus. And when they get into that zone of focus, it takes all the other stressors away from them. And it makes them just focus on what they're doing. We have found that engagement allows them to really calm the brain, so that the brain can resist the ability to create the cortisol that is elevating the stress and the cortisol to keep them from stressing out. So we're bringing them to this.
This is much more than a board game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
There's other – so go ahead.
I was going to say we're going to get into this more. We need to take a break, but I'd love to see how my wife reacts to this game, because she had a stroke. And she lost, you know, the section of her brain where everything going out is kind of tweaked. Everything coming in is fine. She can understand. She can read. But she can't talk. She has aphasia and abraxia. And it just gets all screwed up. And all because connections in the brain have been lost. That'd be really, really interesting. Well, listen, don't go away. We'll be right back for more.
Okay.
This is so interesting.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart, and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere. But if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Ron Bittner and Arlene, Adrian Gruberg.
You've been speaking to my mother.
Is her name Arlene?
No, she used to call me Arlene. That was her sister's name.
Oh. In the later years.
Yes.
Yes. I get all my kids' names mixed up anyway, but I'm told that you're supposed to do that when you get older. Jane, John, I don't, whatever your name is, come over here.
You.
That's called mom syndrome, right? Mother syndrome.
Dad also. So continue what you were saying, Ron. You need a reminder?
basically what I wanted to kind of continue with, just touch back to, you know, as I was trying to design this game for us and, you know, as a general audience, what happened was as I started adding the numbers and the colors, what ended up happening is my wife, 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, had a concussion at work, and she actually was knocked out and has been back. She's back to work, and she went right back to work because she didn't want it to affect her to any degree, but she never played the game often. And what happened to her was she said, Ronnie, you are not going to believe this. This game is exactly what the neuropsychs and the neuroscientists and everybody are using to review my particular issues. They're telling me shapes, numbers, and colors. And I'm saying, well, that's it. That's exactly why this is all coming together then. God has a strange way of making us figure it all out. But eventually, because he gave us a brain and he gives us wisdom, he shows us what he's trying to accomplish. So. What's been
that is the, so cool.
Yeah. And the interesting thing and the concept that my wife and we've talked about quite a bit is it's connecting. Mm-hmm. It's connections. People connect. If we don't connect, we miss it. We totally miss it. So as I've been going through this last journey through this last 3 years, I've connected with military, mentally challenged kids, and just kids in school. I go to local community centers where the kids
can't focus.
We go and we showed
ADD, ADHD, stuff like that.
Everything. We've been involved with all the different neuro disorders in the general sense, right? Dementia, these types of things. And we have found that when you give these folks the opportunity to do simplified in task, but engaging with someone else, all of a sudden it's a different picture. The picture turns into you and me, we're doing this together. It's not only health and healing to the individual that has the disorder, but by golly, it is health and healing to the caregiver, because the caregiver is receiving the same benefit that other person is receiving. So you see what I mean? That connection is like it's a tug of war. It's saying, I'm getting something. And you're saying, I'm getting something too. Suddenly it becomes a balance. And that balance is, I see you. Mm-hmm. I see you. And they say, I see you now. And it's just, that's the crux of it. If I could say anything, it's connectivity.
I'm thinking of my wife right now. So let's say she's doing a part of the game and she's not getting it and it's frustrating her. And she might just say, I give up. You know, she's obviously at the wrong level then. I think she can go down a level or something.
Exactly. But here's the cue for you. Once you see them going off in a direction that isn't the way it's done, that's the beauty of this. You watch them. You just watch them do what they do. And then when the session's over, you're good. But you remember, where did they go off? The next time you do it, you let them play, and guess what happens? That point of turning off the right, wrong way, to go in the wrong direction, or the inability, all of a sudden, the light comes on.
And they figure it out.
They figure it out, and you're part of the process, brother. Never,
that's great.
Never are you worried about them playing the game right, because it is all about them just playing the game. And then if they're right, they're right. If they're wrong, they're wrong. It's the involvement and the connection that you're doing. I'll give
you
an example.
How often should they play?
I say play it every day. 15, 20, 30 minutes. There's 50 bricks in the game. But I have over the years shown that I can just play it with 15 or 16 pieces. And that gives enough focus to start and to not overly blow, like make it look too heavy, right? Mm-hmm. So basically,
this is not a video game that you play on your iPad, right? This is a physical game.
Oh. Yeah. This is it. You're touching it. And this is the beauty for stroke victims. This is the beauty for anybody with an impairment. My wife, because she had a ghosting of her left arm, she lost 60%. So when she would lift her hands, she would be like this.
Right.
Okay. So what happens is,
my wife lost use of her right side as well.
Okay.
This can help with that?
Well, just here's the thing. All right. So watch this. Watch this. If you can see this, I'm going to show you something. Can you see this in front of me?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what you have. You have these pieces and you're playing with them on the table, right? And now watch what's happening. I've already created a space of spatial orientation in front of me. So my eyes to the pieces are a space, right? So when I grab my hand, I'm doing eye-hand coordination. So I got to pick up this piece and I got to put it where it's supposed to go. So So look what's happening. I'm doing it here. Now, if I had the game farther out from me, the game pieces are farther. So I'm getting eye and distance coordination in this game also. So it inherently has a spatial orientation built into it for that type of a modality for that type of person. You follow me? Yeah. So it's the mere fact that it's three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And the pieces have, you know, the pieces go together a certain way, whether they're laying them in a two-dimension or in a three-dimension, you see the brain acting, you see the brain moving in doing that particular action. Now think about it. If you did it every day, you'd be having that little 15 minutes of practice every day, you see. Now these are the I'm just showing you basic moves of the game. These are basics. You're going to be able to take this and do very, very intense, what we call intense scanning. I used to be a pilot, so we used to scan our instruments on a constant basis, and we got to do it in a specific specific pattern, right? Same thing with this. You're going to help, and as they learn, they're going to start viewing it as a scanning technique. Now, see what they're learning. They're learning their brain can do something, and it can do it in a motion, and the more they do it, they're able to figure that out. And just get into that mode of constant scan and focus. Now, I mean, I'm talking a lot, and I'm glad that we're talking about this, but I got to tell you, focus is a big deal for me, and I tell you why. I like this doctor. Sandra Chapman, she's a neuroscientist. She's been doing this stuff for 30 some years. And her big, what I learned from her was simple is better for the brain.
Less is more.
Less is more. Because here, let's think about it. You know, I do a jail program with American Combat Veterans of War. We do safe warrior programs for the young veterans and older veterans. Doesn't matter, whatever veteran, we take them. But most of them, we have challenges with post-traumatic stress, and some have had brain injuries. But we have safe warrior meetings where they can come in and just talk about issues, and they know they're safe with brethren that have been with them in the same type of situations. Or you know, we have a jail program that we go with incarcerated veterans in a local San Diego County Sheriff Detention Center. And I use the game with 30 or 40 guys at a time. Wow. And I'm showing them by learning to play this game, it is teaching them to focus. Focus is a part of meditation. Meditation brings you to a place where you're in one space thinking about one thing that is going to fix your condition. And here's what I want to say about it. When you're focused and you're dropping out all of the thought patterns that have been pushing you all day long, and you come into a place where it's doing one simple task and you're doing it with others and you're just doing something that's very simplified, non-stressing, that relieves that amygdala of the ability to push that cortisol into the brain, making the hypothalamus overstimulated, dulling the senses, dulling the ability to learn, dulling all these issues. We're trying to drain that amygdala of that cortisol. If we can do that by a simple 20 to 30 to 40 minutes a day, that's healing, brother. That is, because if we can do that, some of these veterans will just go to a place that they know it's relief, if you understand where I'm at.
Now, this is not a competitive game, is it? It's you don't play it.
Oh. Well,
so there must be some reward involved, like, that keeps them.
Okay. Yeah.
Like solitaire.
Here's keeps the them, beauty. Yeah. The beauty of the game is this. You can play this game by yourself, or you can play with a group. Typically, mm-hmm. we go four people. It's because I've been in construction for 30 years. I've been a home builder, worked in high-rise hotels, mm-hmm. all types of business. Construction is my game. Oh, pardon the pun, but the aspect of this game, the aspect of this game is all about construction. The way the pieces are designed, it's based on construction. The way the way we terminology in the game, instead of doing a hand, we call it a phase. Things like that. The game is basically about construction because you're building structures, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the key. Every one of the pieces in the game are none of them are the same. I'm going to show you what the pattern looks like before the pieces are cut out. Look at that. Mm-hmm. It's almost a pretty picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we cut out 50 different bricks out of there to create this game. Okay. Now what happens is, because you can play this, you can play with all 50 or you can play with 10. It doesn't matter. You're still getting the same focus and connection aspect of the game. Okay. Now, you asked about competition. The only competition it is by each person being able to see what they have in front of them and playing that piece to get the best
and connect. The
best scoring, right? Now, watch this. It's all in the moment. Because these are 50 different, they can't plan ahead. They can't say, boy, I can't wait till I get that king and queen.
Okay.
And guess what? They don't have that ability because it's all in the moment play. Again, we're getting back to meditation. We're getting them back into what they're supposed to be doing, and that is focus. And because we're allowing them to focus, we're saying, yeah, you're building that structure with everyone to make it to its, like a pyramid. Let's say they're building a pyramid. They're all putting their pieces in to build the pyramid, and they're all scoring. And the end is, yeah, the highest score wins, but it doesn't complete unless the game is completed. You follow?
Now, how do you these get distributed? Where do you – how many are in use? Because, I mean, you when in San Diego, you're doing this – you're on site, but elsewhere. I mean,
save that question for after the break.
Okay.
Let's take a break first.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay,
all right.
Don't go away. Interesting stuff.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial. I don't believe this is happening. Anger. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening. To a form of bargaining. How can I get out of this? To depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you and ultimately an investment in them.
And we're back with Ron Bittner and Adrian Gruberg. We're talking about Ron's amazing invention of a game he has that apparently helps people with brain injury and so many others besides them. So what was the question you were asking, Adrian, when we took our break?
Well, I was asking about how the game is distributed, and that I understand that, you know, Ron goes to the veteran centers near where he is, but is there a video or a book that comes with this so that other places can utilize the...
You need to contact, I don't know if you know a girl by the name of Lisa Michelle. She has a ministry on Facebook for post-traumatic stress. She was on my show, and she's got a large group of veterans. Her husband came back from Afghanistan, and he was just crazy. And you know, you hear the stories, and you wake up, you know, he's strangling her, you know, and just their marriage almost, disintegrated, and she wouldn't give up on him. You know, everyone else said, you know, he's hopeless, but she wouldn't give up on him. And now they have a very happy marriage. They have beautiful daughters. And it's all because of her and her ministry. Now he's doing much better. You know, they try to isolate themselves. I think you need to contact her. I'll give you the contact information after the show. And either she'll have you as a guest on her Facebook Live or something, but you two need to get together. She's got an amazing list of veterans. It's a shame how we're neglecting our veterans. I hope Trump at least takes care of that.
You know, well, I'm kind of reaching out to the Trumps through tweets and things right now, because I know I'm not going to get a direct line. But Ivanka and Mr. Trump, they're reaching out in different ways to talk, and they're talking about veterans. So I'm actually answering those tweets. I'm tweeting back, and I'm trying to get some recognition. Hopefully they'll hear this small voice calling from San Diego to say, look, things are happening there. So, all right, so I've got the video up on YouTube. How's that?
Oh, I hear something louder.
Now, why don't we just go ahead and open up the bag and see what's inside.
That's your maximum volume?
Yes.
First, you're going to find a little baggie. That's going to have your game cards and four sheets. Then you're going to find the stands. And then your 50 bricks.
You can maximize the screen.
And each one is unique. There are no two alike. There's numbers, different colors, different shapes. And they're a mirror image on both sides. Now, here we have our score sheet. This is how you're going to keep track of all the scoring bit by bit. And then we got our game cards. So these game cards are laid out with the rules inside, 1, 2, 3, the basics, the structure games, and the challenge games. And then you've got game cards. And these individual game cards tell you how to play specific games. And in the bottom right-hand corner is going to tell you what kind of game, whether it's a structure game or a challenge game. Above that, you're going to have the title of the game, in this case, Pyramid. And you've got a picture that's going to show you what you're building. And then below that, we've got how to build each level of the game. And then you flip that card over, and on the back side, we've got a diagram that shows you exactly how to build it, how those bricks are laid on each other. And this makes it really easy to build a structure and concentrate on the strategy of the game and not what you're building. So now, to put the stands together, you're just going to slide those two slots into each other, and this will hold four bricks. The four bricks are one phase, so every player will play through all the bricks on their stand before everyone draws again. This stand also protects your bricks from being seen by your opponent. And the basic moves of bit by bit is playing a brick, aligning a key to a slot with matching colors, and adding those numbers. That's it for getting started for bit by bit. Hopefully we'll see you with our other videos. Check us out on our website, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Well, there you go.
Simple. Very easy to follow.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. The
You know how to unshare your screen?
I'm going to try to do that now. Is that it?
There we go. Yep, that's it.
I got to turn you down because now I'm... There we go. All right. So you could hear, and that was my nephew. My nephew put that together. It's
wow, really good.
Great job. Yeah. He actually works in Nashville in a sound recording studio, so he did a wonderful job for me.
That's where Lisa Marie is located in Nashville, I think, with her post-traumatic stress group.
Oh, wow. That's great. Andrew can meet up with them. He's a veteran. He's an Army veteran, served just before the Iraq War started. His older brother served in the Marines for a few tours, and then he went back as an Army guy on a tour. So,
A wonderful family.
Yeah. Well, my dad, let me just talk about my dad. My dad, Charlie, he was an orphan. And Charlie grew up before he met my mom, and up to the time he met my mom, about 27 years. He lived in about a 10-block radius in Detroit. My dad grew up in an orphanage until he was 17. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I just want to share with you. My dad served in World War II, and he he went to Sicily, and he went to Italy, but he got there just as the war had ended. So he paid a lot of the guys coming back through his job was. But my dad, about 4 years ago, he came down with Lewy body's dementia. And he's doing a lot better, but before we realized what was going on, he had some episodes. And he was out visiting with me, and I was basically caretaking for him out here in California. But one day, he was missing. And my sister told me that, you know, he does a few crazy things, and I'm thinking, okay, well, he's been fine with me. Well, I found him down the street one day, and I said, well, this is not good. And then, so about 2 weeks later, I took him to get a haircut. He was getting a little agitated, so I took him to get a haircut, and he left the barbershop in the middle of his haircut. And ran down the thing, and I ran after him, and I said, Dad, are you okay? And he's like, I don't even know who you are, you know?
Yeah.
And so the ladies that were in the little shop that he went in, he says, can you call the police? And I'm thinking, okay, this is not good. So I know I'm laughing about it, but it was pretty emotional at the point.
Welcome to caregiving.
Yeah, so... But what ended up happening is my dad had to go back to Maryland because my sister, she was able to stay with him and work with him. And so about a year later, my older brother took him down to Florida. And now my dad lives in Florida with my older brother who retired. And we all had the ability to come back and caregive for the month of December this year. So my youngest sister, who took care of him for years, he really was attached to her, and she was attached to him. But we each of us overlapped a day, and we went in and got the understanding of what was going on, and then I left. I mean, my sister left, and then I was left with my dad. Well, remember my dad, when he left me, he had had all these episodes. So guess what happened? He wasn't happy that Ron was the one staying with him. He wanted little sister back. Right? So I said, okay, I'm going to have a rough week here with my dad. So we're driving down the road, and he goes, well, when is Susan going to be back? I said, Dad, she's not. She's going to go home to her husband, and I'm going to stay with you for a week. And he did not like that at all. And I looked at him. I stopped at a stoplight, and I looked at him, and I said, Dad, I know you like Susan, but I miss you, and I love you, and I hope you miss me. And his countenance changed, but I knew that he was still a little frustrated. But that was my way of connecting with him for a moment in the heart level. And that allowed me to take that week, and it was all about my dad. It wasn't about my fear of what he was capable of doing or what he was going to do in the morning or at night. It didn't matter. All of a sudden, my understanding of the situation changed. It was all about him. So what ended up happening was that week, I would get up in the morning, take care of business with him, get him showered or whatever. And every morning at 9 o'clock, we went to McDonald's, had a coffee and a pie. And I stood and spoke with him for an hour or two about his life before us kids. I found out so much, believe it or not, with a man with dementia at 90 years old, than he told me his whole life. That's why I say I found out about his life. He was within a 10-block radius of where he lived for that 27 years. He went back to the war. He went to the war, came back. He went into college, got a college degree, lived across the street from where he was at college, got into doing new work for the post office, and that's how he met my mother. So I'm saying for the week that I had with him, I found out so much, and we connected on a level of caring. And that's why I'm saying with my game, it's about connection. Ever since I've learned connection, that has been my go-to word. You know, it isn't, hi, how you doing? It's, gosh, how can I connect with this person? And that's basically how I see this game, and it is about connecting lives and hearts and minds, and really, to be honest with you, spirit.
It's, yeah.
Well, Ron, it always amazes me how fast this hour goes. Believe it or not, we're at the end of the hour, and we've got about 60 seconds. If you could just tell people how to get a hold of you, and I'm going to be sending Lisa Michelle this video as well to post on her website. I'll send it to you, and you can share it with others as well. So how do we get a hold of you?
Well, like I said, I rebranded, but you'll be able to find me at www.newbricksgames.com. And that's NUBRIXGAMES.com. Newbricksgames.com. On the website, there's actually a phone number. If you want to talk to me, I have a special number up there. You can call, you can talk to me about how the game would work for your loved one. And I'd love to be able to help you connect in a fun way as well as a meaningful way.
Great. Adrian, how do we get a hold of you and your amazing ministry with Caregiver Space?
You can email me at Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, Gruberg, at thecaregiverspace.org. And that's the same as the website, thecaregiverspace.org. And Facebook page and Facebook communities are all the Caregiver Space, and then there'll be other directions where to go.
Great. What an amazing show. Lots of information. Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you, Adrian.
Welcome. Thank you. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And thanks, we will
Dave.
See you. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.